Meek is our guy, New England. Stay away. What's going on, guys? The Patriots are using Meek Mill now in their promos on Twitter. I hate it. The Patriots can't use him. The Saints can't use him. Meek Mill is the Eagles' official rapper. You can't use him in your promos. I know Robert Kraft is buddies with him. Whatever. It's welcome in, everyone. It's the Locked On Eagles podcast, the Saturday edition, one day away from Super Bowl Sunday. Appreciate everyone tuning into the show. We got a good one today. We have Mike Sielski of the Philadelphia Inquirer, a columnist for them on Philly.com. He's going to be joining us for the second segment, and he's going to be talking about his piece that he wrote on why, yes, I came in defending the Eagles, saying the Patriots can't use Meek Mill, but we should actually be rooting for the Patriots on Sunday. And I know it's crazy. Nobody likes the Patriots in the NFL. They have been public enemy number one since, I wouldn't say since 2001 when they won the first Super Bowl against the Rams, but I would say when they beat the Panthers and the Eagles and everyone really heard about Spygate and the cheater label and all of that, ever since then, they've kind of been, you know, Lord Palpatine and Darth Vader, if you will. And that's really what they've been. But Mike Sielski is going to make the pitch to us why we should be rooting for the Patriots over the LA Rams. It's going to be the vast minority that are rooting for the Patriots outside of Boston, but he's going to tell us why Philadelphia should also be in that camp rooting for Tom Brady and Bill Belichick over Jared Goff and Sean McVay. Let's get to that interview now right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. First, before we really get into the details of the story, what do you remember personally about the experience of the Eagles last year being in the Super Bowl? You know, the build-up to the game, the 2 weeks before, you know, the game itself, the celebration, covering it with the Philadelphia Inquirer. You got to have some memories of it.
Yeah, you know, I remember a couple of things. I remember thinking over the course of the week how certain most media members outside of Philadelphia were that the Patriots were going to win. I had written a column the Sunday before the game saying that, you know, I felt the Eagles had a really good chance to beat the Patriots because of the way they had played all season. You know, they had gone forward on fourth down. They'd kind of played pedal to the metal the whole time. They're running a flea flicker to Torrey Smith in the NFC Championship game. And they're used to playing that way all year. And that's how they would have to play to beat the Patriots. And people who weren't as familiar with the Eagles didn't know that. Whereas anybody who would watch the Eagles all season, you know, could see that that was the way they had played. So that was one thing I remember well. And then, of course, just the aftermath of it. You know, the fact that they had won, the fact that it was this incredibly exciting game. I remember after I filed my column, going to the back of the press box and calling my dad just to say, hey, you know, I got to do my work. I got to head downstairs, but you know, I knew what a big fan he was, and I just said, hey, can you believe they won? You know, I got to go now. But so, it was, you know, a lot of things stand out from that week.
So you wrote this piece for the Philadelphia Inquirer. I recommend all my listeners go check it out on Philly.com. If you root for the Eagles, there's only one team you should root for in the Super Bowl, by Mike Sielski. And see, I've kind of gone, like, back and forth with who to root for, because with the Rams, you know, they have another young quarterback that was drafted right ahead of Carson Wentz. Sean McVay and Doug Peterson have kind of been compared to each other the past couple of years. But at the same time, you know, the Patriots took down Andy Reid. They've been in it for, you know, year after year after year since really 2001. They've been a dominant force in the NFL. What's the main reason for you that Eagles fans should root for the Patriots?
Well, my feeling is this. First of all, I totally understand the visceral dislike that people might have to the Patriots and Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. I totally get it. But I kind of look at it like this. If the Rams were to win this game on Sunday, then the Eagles just become one of two teams that happen to beat Brady and Belichick at the end of their run, right? You know, that Brady and Belichick have been doing this for, gosh, what, 18 years, however long it's been. They've gotten to 9 Super Bowls. They've won 5. If they lose these last two, then it's like, okay, well, they, you know, they weren't quite what they were at the end. But if the Patriots win, then the Eagles' victory in the Super Bowl last year kind of takes on this whole new perspective. Then it's, look at, you were the team that was able to beat the Patriots in the midst of this incredible run. I mean, the Patriots 2 years ago, you know, fashioned the biggest comeback in Super Bowl history. They were down 25 points in the second half and came back and won that game.
Right.
And then they came back after losing a Super Bowl and won it the following year and beat Sean McVay, the hot new coach, and Jared Goff, the hot young number one pick at quarterback. But the team that beat them was Nick Foles and the Eagles. So to me, it would make the Eagles' achievement from last year that much more special to be able to say you beat the Patriots. You didn't just beat a dynasty in decline. You beat a dynasty that was still at the peak of its powers. And I think that would hold more cachet for the Eagles and their fans.
Yeah, and whether it's true or not, you know, you did write the Eagles are just one of two teams to catch Patriots at the right time. That could be a thought, not that you're saying that's what your thought process would be, but that could be, you know, a take after the Super Bowl if the Rams were to win. Do you think that would be a real belief among people that if the Patriots lose this game, maybe they are not what they were just, say, a couple years ago taking down the Falcons?
I think it would get people saying that a fair amount. I do. Okay. Because Brady would be a year older. You could chalk it up to, hey, they had a home, you know, they were able to get a home game. You know, they kind of backed their way into a first round bye, but they were 11-5. They clearly weren't as good during the regular season as they had been. And, you know, they got a home game in the divisional round, and they, you know, that setup always favors the home team. Mm-hmm. So it's not surprising they were able to knock off the Chargers. And then they went in and faced a terrible defense, and they faced Andy Reid, who doesn't win big games.
Right.
So, you know, it's no wonder they got to the Super Bowl. But consider the flip side of this, Louis. If the Patriots win, then the Eagles were the only team standing between them and three consecutive Super Bowl victories.
That's true. I never thought of it that way.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
That's kind of how I would look at it.
So for you personally, what about you personally? Do you think that – where do you think the Patriots are right now? Because, you know, last year Tom Brady in that game, remember, you know, the defense, the Eagles were having their way with him. Like you said, they just had their foot on the gas the entire way. Scored over 40 points. Tom Brady himself, though, threw for, what, over 500 yards. Where do you see...
505 yards. Yeah,
505 yards, so, which is just a crazy amount in a Super Bowl. Just back and forth. One of the best offensive performances in Super Bowl history. Where do you think the Patriots are right now? So that I do agree, like, that could be a belief if the Patriots lose this game to the Rams. So do you think that the Patriots are on the way down? Is this something that they did take advantage of a good setup in the AFC, or do you think this is still something that we could be seeing for another 5 years?
I don't know if you're going to see it for another 5 years, but I also don't think that they are going to fall off a cliff as of next year. I don't think there's any way they can do anything other than go all in to try to pursue another championship with Brady and Belichick, because look, they traded away all their prospective princes at quarterback. You know, they don't have Jimmy Garoppolo anymore. They don't have Jacoby Brissett anymore. It's Brady or nothing, unless they draft a kid in the first round or second round. And we saw what happened the last time they did that.
That's true.
You know, Tom Brady went to Robert Kraft and said, get this kid out of here. I'm the man. And all he's done since then is continue to prove that he's the man. So, you know, I don't think you'll necessarily see the Patriots fall to like 7-9 or 6-10 next year. I don't think they have a choice other than to continue, you know, trying to win and pursuing championships with Brady and Belichick.
I love what you tweeted about how the Eagles have beaten Vince Lombardi and Bill Belichick to win their past two titles. And you're right. Like, don't you agree? It makes it so much sweeter than maybe if the Jaguars hung on in the second half of that game last year and the Eagles beat the Jaguars to win their first Super Bowl.
Oh, I think it absolutely does. I mean, I've kind of thought about this with respect to the Phillies. You know, you look at the two World Series that the Phillies won, and they did not beat the dominant American League franchises of those eras. They kind of beat the second fiddles, if you will. You know, in 1980, they beat the Kansas City Royals. Well, the
right.
Royals were always the bridesmaids in the late 70s to the Yankees. They would lose to them in the divisional round, in the American League Championship Series every single year. And then finally they broke through in 1980, and that, you know, that's when the Phillies happened to make it too. And then in 2008, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays get there in amidst, you know, at a time when the Yankees and particularly the Red Sox are dominating the American League. So while it doesn't necessarily lessen the joy of those World Series championships, and of course Philadelphia would have been just as happy if the Eagles had beaten the Jaguars, I do think it enhances, you know, what happened last year on February 4th, 2018,
right,
that it was Brady. It was Belichick. You know, the team didn't beat the Houston Texans or the Jaguars, or, you know, it beat the team of the last 20 years in the NFL. And I think that matters.
You wrote in the piece, you kind of talked about when Carson Wentz went down, and I feel like you had a similar belief to me and most Eagles fans out there and Eagles media members, you know, the national media. It really seemed like when Wentz went down against the Rams in Los Angeles, that really closed the window on the Eagles' potential chances to win it all last year. Do you think that maybe it doesn't happen this way? Maybe Foles isn't the guy under center. Maybe it's Carson Wentz that beats the New England Patriots. Does that change the impressiveness of the win over New England? Like, do you think because it was Nick Foles, it made it that much more sweet? Or would Wentz winning it all have maybe, I don't know, Benny, I don't want to say a better outcome. Would it have been different? Like, would we view the title in a different way?
I don't know that people in Philadelphia would necessarily view the title in a different way. I do think that the fact that it was Foles made for a better story. It was just a better story to have the backup quarterback who considered retiring 2 years earlier, 3 years earlier, lead the Eagles over the greatest quarterback and the greatest coach in NFL history. It just made for a better story. And I think, you know, that goes a long way to explaining the affection that people have for Nick Foles now, why there's such debate about, at least publicly, certainly not within the Eagles organization, right, but definitely publicly, about whether the Eagles should keep Foles or, you know, try to move on from Wentz or something like that, which is kind of silly, but that's the way Philadelphia fans think. They're sentimental like that. And so, you know, from a national perspective, it was just a great story. You know, it's always a great story when the underdog knocks off, you know, the favored Goliath. But, you know, for Philadelphians, I think either way, if Wentz had led them to the championship or Foles, you know, Foles leads them to the championship, I think it wouldn't have made, doesn't make much of a difference one way or another.
So do you think this is solely about the Patriots remaining a dynasty and having that be what's more impressive about the Eagles' win last year? Does this have anything to do with the Rams maybe as well for some people competing with the Eagles as a powerhouse in the NFC? You know, you have the Goff versus Wentz talk and Peterson versus McVay, two of the best offensive minds in the NFL. Is that a motivation, do you think, or should it be a motivation for Eagles fans too to maybe root for the Patriots because the Rams are kind of who the Eagles are going to be competing with, and also just, you know, an ego thing of, like, people like to defend their young quarterback, like, we think Wentz is better than Goff, and hey, our head coach maybe should have won head coach of the year last year, and he already beat McVay twice. Should that be motivation as well?
No, I think it absolutely is for a segment of the fan base, that they feel pride in their own hometown team. I think, you know, Philadelphians, you know, generally speaking, you know, always have that kind of underdog chip on their shoulder. Hey, they're not giving us our respect. Yeah, Sean McVay's a terrific coach, but how brilliant can he be? He couldn't beat Doug Peterson last year. He couldn't beat him again this year. And our guy won the championship. And so, yeah, I absolutely think there are fans out there who are saying to themselves, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing the Rams get knocked down a peg. Not for anything the Rams have done necessarily or said. I think McVay carries himself with a lot of grace. He seems like a, you know, a really good guy. He's very accessible and intelligent with the media. He's not an overt jerk like Sean Payton can be.
Right.
But, you know, and the same thing with Goff, like no complaints with who Jared Goff is as a person. I think it's more a matter of perception. I think people in Philadelphia feel like Doug Peterson and the organization hasn't gotten its just due, that somehow their winning a Super Bowl last year was just kind of a fluke. And now the real genius, you know, hot young genius is in there and he has a chance to show how smart he really is. I think that's more a matter of the way the Rams are presented in the media, you know, among people who cover the league, as opposed to what they actually are.
Yeah, I agree with you there. Let me ask you one more thing here. Do you think that this Super Bowl can almost maybe be a battle of the ways to build an organization? I know, like, look, the Rams system offensively with Sean McVay is one of the best in football, but the way they've built their roster has been a similar structure to maybe like the Patriots, where the Rams just, like, they've collected really not, I'm not going to say they have just discounted character, but they have brought in a lot of different personalities on defense with Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib and Nemdonik and Sue. And they have a player-friendly, you know, offensive-minded coach who can relate to the guys. Whereas the Patriots, you know, they're kind of the opposite. They've been doing the Patriot way since 2001. It's back-to-back teams that could potentially win it the way the Eagles and Rams are structured. Do you think that maybe that's I don't want to say that it's going to change the way teams maybe decide to build football teams, but do you think it too that this is maybe a game, a battle of the ways to build an NFL, you know, championship contender?
I think it's a little. I think their approaches are a little more similar than you're making them out to be.
Okay.
I think that because For one thing, because Jared Goff has been on his rookie contract, the Rams have gone about building their roster in a very similar fashion to what the Eagles have done, which is to say that they're going out and they're spending money on veteran players on short-term deals who could conceivably step in and contribute right away. And that's exactly what the Eagles did from the moment they drafted Carson Wentz. They tried the same thing in 2016, and they tried the same thing this year. It just didn't quite work out as well as it did in 2017. You know, the difference is in 2016, they traded for Dorial Green Beckham, and right. In 2017, they signed Alshon Jeffrey and Torrey Smith. They got better players with better character, you know, within the confines of the locker room. I mean, I think the Patriots pretty much do the same thing. Do they develop some of their own guys? Yeah, they do. But Belichick's draft record is kind of spotty. What he's able to do is go out and target veteran guys who will fit what he wants them to do. He's able to see things in veteran players that maybe other coaches and player evaluation people can't see. And because Brady, you know, has not taken the kind of, you know, money and demanded the kind of contract that other quarterbacks have, they've had enough wiggle room under the salary cap to be able to do that. Now, you know, why Brady has done that, I don't know. You know, maybe he's just that committed to winning Super Bowls. Maybe he's got an under the table deal with some endorser that's paying
some people suspect.
$1 billion.
Yeah,
some people suspect. But, you know, I think their approaches are a little more similar. And bear in mind, the Patriots have tried in the past and won in the past with guys who had quote-unquote questionable character. Let's not forget Corey Dillon in 2004. Let's not
that's
forget
true.
Randy Moss in 2007. They took a flyer on Chad Ochocinco back in 2011. He didn't work out as well. But they've had, you know, Josh Gordon this year, you know.
That's
not
a good
necessarily
point, yeah.
A bad guy, just a troubled guy. So I think their approaches are fairly similar.
Okay, I like the way you look at it. Man, Dorial Green Beckham, though, kind of bringing back some old wounds, huh?
Yeah, sorry, man. That's a deep hole right there.
That's all right. Well, Mike Sielski of the Philadelphia Inquirer, again, wrote a really interesting column on why Eagles fans should cheer for the Patriots on Super Bowl Sunday. Mike, thanks for coming on the show today.
Anytime, Louis. Thanks so much.
All right, that was Mike Sielski on the line here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, the Saturday edition, one day away from Super Bowl Sunday, the Rams taking on the Patriots. Yeah, I'm with him. I'm cheering for the Patriots, and it's not because I want Tom Brady to get another ring. It's not because I want Bill Belichick to get another ring, but the Patriots should be the preference. I think the Rams, to me, one part he didn't even really write in his piece was that Jared Goff getting a ring, Sean McVay getting a ring. You know, it's then they're on par with the Eagles. The one thing we have over them right now, and not to say that Jared Goff getting a ring makes him better than Carson Wentz. I think most, I don't know, out of 32 teams, I think the vast majority would take Carson Wentz over Jared Goff. But if Goff gets a ring, like, that is something that fans are going to come after when we're discussing Goff versus Wentz, that Wentz hasn't played in a playoff game yet, and Jared Goff has won a Super Bowl. So I think that's also something for me personally, maybe I want to avoid. I want to hold off the Goffers for as long as possible and get Carson Wentz some playoff experience. And, you know, having Doug Peterson have a ring and two wins over Sean McVay, I personally think that feels good for me, at least, because the Rams are going to be a team that, with the way the roster is built, I think they're going to be competing with the Eagles for years to come. These are two of the best teams in the NFL, and they will be in the NFC conference, I think, for a good amount of years left, especially with their two young quarterbacks and offensive-minded head coaches. And yeah, like, he's right. It does. It makes, I don't think that if the Rams win this game, it shows that the Patriots are coming downhill and that maybe the Eagles beat them on the tail end of their dynasty because of how good Brady played. Like we mentioned, Mike said, Tom Brady threw for 505 yards in that game. But I think it's the perception that maybe some people will think, yeah, it's not as impressive. Yeah, you had Nick Foles and you beat the a Patriots team that has five Super Bowl rings, but you did it when they were kind of coming downhill. They lost two straight, and then who knows, maybe next year or the next couple of years, Brady retires, and then officially it's like, yeah, you beat the end of their dynasty. Whereas now, like Mike said, if the Patriots win this game, they have six rings, which is tied for the most all-time in NFL history for an organization, and you beat them in the middle of that run of making the best comeback in Super Bowl history against the Falcons, then you take them down with your backup quarterback, and then they go on to beat a Rams team that has so much talent oozing on offense and defense. So I do agree with him. I think Eagles fans, it's wild. New England is trolling us with these Meek Mill promos on Twitter, which I don't like at all. When the Saints use Meek Mill, it bothers me. Look, Meek's our guy. He's a Philly guy, and I know he's friends with Robert Kraft, but they control us all they want. But truthfully, I'm kind of with Mike Sielski here. I'm on Team Patriots on Sunday. I think it is the best for the Eagles and for the fans as if the Patriots get their sixth ring. It makes the win last year more impressive, maybe on paper at least, and it holds off the Rams. The Eagles still remain as, like, I love having that over the Vikings, the Saints, and the Rams right now. Like, those are the four teams in the NFC, and there's beef and pettiness between those organizations right now. And while the Rams probably don't have the same amount of rivalry with the Eagles, again, though, the Wentz-Goff thing will always be compared as long as their careers are going. They have the same agents. They were picked 1 and 2 in 2016. And Sean McVay and Doug Peterson, again, two of the best offensive minds. They're kind of the faces of this new offensive, you know, revolution in the NFL where it's just taking over the league. And Doug Peterson and McVay are kind of the faces. And to have Doug Peterson be 2-0 on them and have a ring with McVay not having a ring yet, I don't know, it feels kind of good for me, and I agree with him. So, again, go check out Mike Sielski's column on the Philadelphia Inquirer, philly.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at Mike Sielski. Really appreciated him coming on. I think that's going to do it for today's edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. For Mike Sielski of the Philadelphia Inquirer, I am Louis DiBiase signing off. This has been Locked On Eagles. Follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Birds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. And let's go, Birds.